My name is Martha.
And I'm Colby. And this is the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
The show where we talk about what you need to know to live your best millennial life.
Listen in each week as we talk about everything from our favorite pizza to how to drop your toxic friends.
We ask each other the questions, and somewhere between us, there's an answer.
Because there's shit you need to know.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
This podcast where we talk about things you need to know and some things you didn't. First up is the poll of the week. Do you like crunchy peanut butter or smooth peanut butter? Colby, what's your take on this?
No.
Can you explain more?
They make me feel real bad when I eat them.
At what point did you realize you were allergic to nuts?
So my dad is allergic to peanuts and tree nuts. And my sister is as well, but she developed her allergy. I think she developed her allergy at the same time I was like trying foods. So I think they were always kind of cautious with me around nuts. And then I had an allergy test later in life. So they just kind of kept me away from them. And it's, as of right now with peanuts, I'm not anaphylactic. So I won't die last time I checked. But sometimes allergies get worse the more you're exposed to them.
Oh, shit.
Sometimes they also get better the more you're exposed to them. So you just really never know what's going to happen with allergies. But that's my peanut allergy is not anaphylactic. I don't know if I've ever had a tree nut, but I am allergic to them because I got an allergy test.
Oh, I was like, how did you know? I mean,
yeah,
I'm allergic to penicillin. Yep, no one cares.
Those are just my food allergies. I have a lot more environmental allergies.
Would you like to go through all of them? Or
if I can remember all of them.
Oh, boy.
I'm allergic to cats, horses, roaches, mold, pollen.
Do you take allergy shots?
Nope.
Oh, good for you.
No, I just suffer. Sometimes in the spring, I just like, so sometimes I take melatonin to help me sleep. In the spring, I just take Benadryl and it gets me through.
Honestly, I've done that before.
Yeah.
Anyway, I prefer crunchy peanut butter. I used to always be a smooth gal because that's like all my parents bought. But then when you grow up and do things on your own, you realize you have different tastes than your parents. And crunchy peanut butter is one of those. I think it just adds more texture to the food. Like if I'm eating a plain peanut butter sandwich on white bread, I don't want bread, smooth bread. I want bread, crunchy bread, because it makes more sense to me. It makes more sense to my brain.
Smooth Gal is my favorite 70s go-go album.
Who's it by?
Dang it. Don't put me on the spot like that.
I thought you were making it
don't
up.
Don't make me pull go-go artists out my ass.
Anyway, you can find me on Instagram at RealMarthaRiley and SYNTKPod, which I don't use enough, but I should really start because I forgot to post the last two episodes on it. I'll get better, I promise. And where can we find you on the social media if you are so inclined?
Colby Complains on all the platforms that matter.
Awesome. So welcome back to Passion Month on our podcast. And if you listened to last week, you know, we kind of got into it. But basically this month, for the rest of September, we're sharing what makes us passionate and like things that make us tick. So last week we talked about some things that we like, and now we're going to be teaching them to each other. First up,
yeah,
is Colby teaching me about football because I joined a fantasy football league and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I think at some point we're going to be setting my lineup for the week and going from there. So Colby, take it away.
I'm so excited, y'all. I'm very happy for this moment.
You're literally, okay, you can't see him, but he's literally like rubbing his hands together like an evil genius.
No, I really like football. So like I said last week, I'm a sports boy, but I think I clung to football the most, like learning about football the most is because it's so much different than almost any other American sport. Or any other sport in general. If you look at rugby, soccer, basketball, I'll leave baseball out because that doesn't really fit into this analogy that I'm using for myself. all these games, everyone kind of does the same thing. Like, you can get into the semantics about, like, the difference between, like, a winger and a forward and a back in soccer, but everyone's kicking the ball, everyone can score. Same in basketball, everyone's defending, everyone's passing, everybody's shooting.
Oh, that literally never occurred to me just until right now that everyone can score.
Yeah.
Wow, we have a lot of work to do.
But football, like, not... like, every single position group is doing something different most of the time. So when they say, like, sports are like a chess match, football is literally like a chess match because not every piece can do everything. So it's how teams are put together is interesting, how formations work into everything, how different plays develop is interesting to me. There's just so much about the strategy of football that I think is really cool.
So what I know about football is that the Minnesota Vikings have never been to... No, we've never won a Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm. You have not, off the top of my head, no.
That is the only thing that I know. I know that there is a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people don't like Tom Brady. even though I think he's kind of hot, but... it's always the problematic ones. let me think. What else do I know? I know you score. There's a touchdown and there's a field goal.
There you go.
I don't quite understand the downs. And I'm looking at our notes here. Extra point, 2-point conversion, field goal, safety. Not sure about that. So please impart your knowledge on me and... we'll see if I'm a better person because of it.
You won't be. Let's get into this. All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit first about the history of the game. So when I'm talking about this, I'm doing this 95% from memory. When I was in school, I took two classes on the history of sports. One of them was the history of American sport. And there was a whole 2-3 weeks just spent on football and the games that led to football. So let's go back to England. Probably we're looking at late 1700s, early 1800s England, probably a little earlier than 1800s. There's a game called mob football. It is called football because it's a game that's played on foot as opposed to a game being played on horseback like polo.
Oh.
So you have this game called football that is played between these two towns whenever there's a big festival, whenever there's a big religious festival, everyone's drinking, having a good time. They say, hey, we want to play this game. The object of this game is to take a ball from the center of one town to the center of the other town by any means necessary. This game was dangerous. People died.
It's kind of like Capture the Flag.
A little bit like Capture the Flag, yeah. And you can, like, this version of football, you can pick up the ball, you can run it, just whatever you need to do to get this ball to the other town. The king of England at this time, I forget who it is, was like, okay, we can't have people at these festivals dying over this dumb game. So after trying to ban it and a bunch of things, they decided, okay, we're going to find somebody. We're going to make some rules. So it kind of fractured from there. There were some people that took the game and said, okay, instead of going from one town to another town, we're going to do it on the field. And instead of just being able to pick up the ball, we're going to put the ball on the ground. You're only able to kick the ball. That's how we get to association football, also known as soccer. So soccer comes to the U.S. Another game that's offshoot of that is rugby that also makes its way to the United States. And then rugby from different evolutions turns into a primitive form of football. Fast forward to the 1900s, football is one of the biggest college sports. But unlike what I said last week about college sports being most prevalent in the South, Southeast, the schools that are really embracing college sports are the Ivies. You got your Harvards, your Princetons, your Yales. These are schools that really latch on to this manly man's game of football. But again, the problem is that people were dying because the game was too intense. People were literally dying on the field. So there are different rules that are imparted upon the game that get us a little bit closer to what looks like modern day football. I'm going to say some things now that I'm not going to explain later, but those of you who like know football a little bit more intimately will get this. You used to be able to just get into a flying V, like from the Mighty Ducks, and put your dude in the middle and just have a wedge going downfield. And so many people got hurt. So instead, when lining up for plays, you have to have exactly 7 people on the line of scrimmage, which is the line on the field where the play starts. So you have to have exactly 7 people lined up along the line of scrimmage to start a play. So you can't do your flying V anymore.
Should I be taking notes?
I mean, how much do you want to learn about football? How much do you care about this?
I don't really have a choice.
Well, here you are. Sorry, am I sounding like a professor right now?
No.
Good.
Keep going. I mean, a little bit, professor. I didn't know how much you knew. This is fascinating to me, too. I didn't know the extent of your knowledge.
So from there, you get that the forward pass is introduced. Every school, including University of North Carolina, claims that they invented the forward pass. And that comes along. And probably the first forward pass, again, is from memories in the 20s. It doesn't really catch on until the 40s.
So, sorry, what do you mean forward pass? Is that just literally like one person passes it to another?
Yes.
Okay.
One person passes the ball forward as opposed to pitching it backwards or laterally.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you started, it was you could only pass the ball backwards or to the side. And that's how you would be able to advance the ball. If you're about to get tackled, you pitch it to someone else who can further the ball. It looks more like rugby than football, honestly. Some college football teams still run this sort of offense. If you look at the service academies, Navy and Army still run what we call now a triple option. It's more that style of football. But more teams now, or almost every team in the NFL, almost no teams in college, run anything that looks like that sort of football. And then you kind of see the NCAA forming in the National Football League. So let's talk about the different like major, we'll talk about all the big leagues in America for football. So the biggest by far is the National Football League. The NFL, the behemoth that is the American pastime, starts and ends with the NFL, really. Professional football teams, 32 teams, 53 people per team, spread out across the country.
52 people seems like a lot.
53
people? That seems like a lot of people.
Let me put it this way. You have 11 people on the field at a time, right?
Okay.
So you have 11 people, 11 starters on offense. You have 11 starters on defense, which puts you at 22. You have backups for all those players, and now you have it at 44, which leaves you 9 auxiliary spots. 3 of those spots are going to go to your punter, your kicker, and your long snapper. So that puts you at 47. Now you only have like 6 more people that you can add to your team if you give everyone a first and second string.
Dang.
So it's 53 sounds like a lot. It's really not. Some of these college teams have close to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, so 53 sounds like a lot. It's really not.
So is this like capped throughout the league? Like this is a league maximum? Okay, but college is not very well regulated in terms of team size?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So actually, as we're recording this, it was just cut day on Saturday where all the teams probably had, when training camp started in July, close to 90 players on the team, and they had to cut it down to 53 to start the season. So a bunch of people without jobs right now who wanted to get into the National Football League.
Damn.
But the NFL, you have 2 conferences. You have the American Football Conference and the National Football Conference. Within each conference, you have 4 divisions. You have North, South, East, West of the AFC, North, South, East, West of the NFC. Start looking at the playoffs. The best teams from every division get into the playoffs, as well as 2 wild cards, who are the 2 teams that did the best who did not win their division. So 6 teams from each conference get into the playoffs. That's 12 total teams. There are 3 rounds, a wild card round, divisional round, conference championship round, and then you play your Super Bowl. And that's how the champion of the world is chosen in the NFL.
The Super Bowl was in Minneapolis 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this last week too, but I didn't watch any of the football. I just looked for celebrities.
Yeah, people show up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there was the cast of This Is Us. Jimmy Fallon did a taping with Justin Timberlake. I had friends like get into that, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't, like, I just sort of like stayed home and didn't do anything, which is fine.
The weird thing about almost any major championship game in the United States is that very few fans get to go. Probably football, both college and NFL, gets the most fans that are able to go because stadiums are so big, but there are so many corporate seats that are sold at those games. Actually, I take that back, because the NFL and baseball and hockey all have 7-game championships, so probably the football has the least amount. But either way, lots of corporate seats are those games. Not many fans of the teams get to go, which is a little unfortunate. But that's a big overview of the NFL. Like you said, the Vikings are up your way. They are in the NFC North with the Packers, the Bears, and the team I forget, which is the Lions. My team is the Carolina Panthers. We are in the NFC South with the Buccaneers, the terrible Falcons. I hate them so much. And the Saints, who I also hate so much.
So all these team names are coming back to me because I think I played backyard football growing up. Do you remember those games? Did you ever have them?
Great games.
Man, I'm just remembering now, like all the old greats. Like we had Randy Moss. Wasn't there like a John Elway? John Elway?
There you go.
Elway. John Elway. Okay. It's coming back a little bit. It's coming back. Maybe I just repressed all these memories. But all right. So when I was playing the game, I didn't. How do you score? I just made people throw balls and try to get them to the other end of the field. There's more to that, I'm assuming.
Yes. Let me talk about the NCAA for just a quick second, then we'll get right into scoring.
Okay.
So NCAA football. I am in the South, and college football runs everything down here. So if we're looking at college football, we're really looking at four different kind of leagues. I know some people are going to say three. I'm going to say it's four because it makes more sense that way. You have D3, which is Division III, the lowest tier, who gets the least amount of scholarships awarded. Schools are normally, like if you have a super small private school, that's going to be a D3 school. Moving up, you have D2, who get a little more scholarships, and then you have the football championship series, which get even more scholarships, and these are also Division I schools. They are just in a slightly smaller football mode, kind of. They get the same amount of scholarships for basketball, all the Olympic sports, but for football, they have less scholarships. And then you have the FBS teams, which is where you get your Power 5 conferences, which are the ACC, Pac-12, Big 10, Big 12, and, wow, Pac-12, ACC, Big 10, Big 12.
SEC.
SEC. There we go. Wow. I forgot the SEC when talking about football.
Wow. How did I know that? Oh, Lord.
Because you know more than you think you do, Martha.
There we go.
And that's where we get your North Carolinas, you get your Minnesotas, your Bamas, Auburn, USC, UCLA, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Miami. The names you know.
We're just shouting out states.
Well, yeah, pretty much every state besides, like, I don't know, Maine, Montana, Alaska, all these teams. Aside from those, all those teams are in the FBS, and they compete for the college football playoff championship, which is the national championship de facto for the NCAA.
Good to know. Okay, so when we're playing these games, how the fuck do you score? I mean, like, I know you need to get from one end of the field to the other, and I know that's, like, super oversimplifying it. At some point, I think you got to take a kick, and I know that's another point. But beyond that, I am unsure how that happens.
That's not a bad start. So,
okay.
Yes, the object of the game is to have more points. You get the best way to get points, the fastest way to get points is to score a touchdown. So, imagine a football field, and the offense is going one way. The way the offense is going, they are trying to score on the other team's end zone. I want to start there.
Okay.
You are trying to score on the other team's end zone. This is going to be important later on. So, if you are able to get the ball in possession in the other team's end zone, that's a touchdown. You're awarded 6 points.
Okay.
After you score a touchdown, you can either kick an extra point, which is what most teams do most of the time, depending on circumstances. Just kicking the extra point is the easiest thing. Or with some circumstances or with some coaches who just want to risk more, you can opt for a play from the 2 or 3 yard line, whether you're college or NFL, it depends. And if you score again, you get 2 points.
So, sorry, field goal is 1 point or 2 points?
No, an extra point is 1 point.
Okay.
Okay, so.
You lost me for a second. Okay, so you just, okay, kicking is a field goal, no?
No. So an extra point and a field goal are different things. Both look exactly the same, but they are different things. Yes, this is why football is a little bit of a confusing sport. So
it's not intuitive, I'll tell you that.
In some aspects, it's not intuitive.
Fair.
So you score a touchdown and then the place kicker comes on and he kicks the extra point. Now, let's talk about how you get the ball from one side of the field to the other. So,
okay.
Let's say you just got the ball after a kickoff. You're on your 25-yard line. You now have your 25-yard line, so close to your own end zone. You want to get to the other team's end zone. You now have first and 10. That means it is first down, and you have 10 yards to go until the next first down. So every play in football is also called a down.
Okay.
You have 4 downs to get at least 10 yards.
Okay, sorry. So on a down, you want to score, on a play, you want to move 10 yards, theoretically. If you can't move 10 yards, you have at least 4 chances to get there?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
I'm sure I oversimplified it, but.
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have 4 chances to get 10 yards. So let's say it's first and 10, you get a play that is 13 yards. You're now on your own 38-yard line. You now have first and 10 from your 38-yard line. No matter how far you go, if you get more than 10 yards, you have first and 10 again.
Oh.
Until you get inside the 10-yard line because you don't have 10 yards to go, right?
Okay.
At that point, it's first and goal.
Oh, so how many chances at these like first and tens do you get? I mean, at some point the other team can like take the ball, right?
You have all the way down the field.
You have the whole field to do so. If you are the one that caught the opening kick or opening pass. Okay.
Opening kick.
Got it.
Yes. So let's say you get to like, let's say it's 4th and 11.
Okay.
From that, from the 37-yard line.
So that means you've had 4 tries and you went 11 yards.
Or you had 3 tries and you went back a yard.
Okay.
Because you now have 11 yards to go.
Got it.
So now you're at 4th and 11. You have to go 11 yards, which is not an easy task. And the other team knows you have to go at least 11 yards. It is more advantageous for you at that point just to kick the ball to the other side of the field, to punt the ball to the other side of the field, and just try to play field position and hope your defense can get a stop and get you the ball back in the same way.
Okay.
That's how punting works. That's what happens if you're too far away for a field goal. Now, if you are on the other side of the field about to score and you're in 4th and 11, at that point, if you have enough faith in your kicker, you can bring him out there for a field goal.
Oh.
Now, if you kick a field goal, that's where the 3 points come in.
Damn, I never knew that. All right. This is making sense now.
All right, cool. Awesome. Now, those are the 4 major ways to score: touchdown, extra point, 2-point conversion, and field goal.
Oh, you didn't explain the 2-point conversion.
Oh, 2-point conversion. Yeah, you score a touchdown, and let's say that you just score a touchdown, it's 18-20. now after the 6 points, it's late in the game. You want to tie the game so you can at least play for overtime. You go for two. Go for a two-point conversion. You're on like the 2 or 3 yard line, depending on the league, and you just try to score again. If you score again in that one play, then you get 2 points.
Okay, cool.
Let's talk about safeties.
Okay.
Let's say you are on defense now, and this is the only way the defense itself can score.
Okay.
Without taking the ball away, without an interception, without a fumble. So on defense, you have backed the other team up all the way against their own goal line. So they now have to go like 99 yards to score. You backed them up all the way against their goal line.
Which is sort of what you want to do, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
If you happen to tackle the other team in their own end zone, that's a safety because you can't go back any further. So the defense then gets 2 points.
And you don't want that.
And you don't want that. And their offense gets the ball. So you do not want safeties. That's the quickest way. That's the main way to get a safety. The other way is if there's some sort of penalty in the end zone while you're backed up, you'll also be rewarded a safety.
Does that happen very often?
Not very often. No, I'd say a team probably gets a safety 3 or 4 times a season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not very often at all. Let's go positions before we go penalties.
Okay. What's your favorite position, Colby?
My favorite position?
That's a sex joke.
Listen, I am all the way in football mode right now. I am all... You cannot distract me at this moment. All right. Let's get into positions. So like you said, quarterback. Most important position on the field, probably the most important position in American sports, besides maybe pitcher in baseball. The quarterback is the coach on the field.
Mm.
Let's talk about the NFL because it's different in college. The NFL is probably the most simple. If you pay close attention to an NFL game, the quarterback's helmet has a green dot on the back.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
The green dot means that that player has a radio in his helmet.
Oh.
And there is somebody calling the plays into the helmet for the quarterback.
Oh my God, I never knew that. I did not know who those guys were talking to. Damn.
So they can't talk back, but they can listen.
Okay.
There is also a play clock. Like you can't just sit there and fiddle with your formation before play forever. You have a 40-second play clock if it's a dead ball before, like if the clock isn't moving before, then you have a 25-second play clock. The radio shuts off 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Okay.
So the quarterback gets to play radioed in. Sometimes if there's a really loud game next time you're watching football, since I know it's something you do a lot, you'll see a quarterback go like this. Listeners, I have my hands over my ears because they're trying to make sure that they can hear the play that's being called in. Quarterback gets in the huddle and he tells everyone where they need to be. They'll like call a play. That's what calling a play means. They'll relay what the coach wants them to run.
Okay.
At that point, everybody lines up. The quarterback looks at the defense before the snap, before the center. We'll get into centers. Before the center gives him the ball, look at the defense to see if there's anything he wants to change or tweak. It's called an audible.
So the quarterback can call the play, but it's not the end all be all, like the other people on the team can have a say on what they think is best sort of thing.
The center, which is another position we'll get to, sometimes makes a couple adjustments on the offensive line. Maybe the running back, if they're standing next to the quarterback, will point something out. But for the most part, what the quarterback says goes.
Okay.
You will get yelled at if you don't listen to the quarterback.
So I have a question about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of quarterbacks get a lot of shit because I feel like you said, they have a lot of responsibility and the team on their back sort of thing. How do you think they build up that trust is what I'm wondering. Like, I don't know. It seems weird just to be like, yep, taking orders from a dude doing a thing. I know it's more complicated than that, but that's what it seems like to me sometimes.
I mean, sometimes it's inherent.
Okay.
That like, okay, this is football. I know that I'm a running back. I, for literally as long as I've been playing, you listen to the quarterback. When the quarterback tells you what the play is, you run it. It's instilled from these players from a very early age. Like, you listen to the quarterback. Now, many a quarterback has lost a locker room where they have done whatever they've done to lose respect or to lose confidence. And at that point, you are in for a very rough go as a football team. But a lot of quarterbacks, either from personality or from what they've needed to mold, have a strong sense of leadership, at least on the football team. Maybe not like in any other aspects in life, but once they get on the field, like they are a field general.
Okay.
So that's the quarterback. Oh, yeah. And then once the play starts, the quarterback calls for the snap with their cadence, which is their downset hut. Whatever they say, that's what they say. Every quarterback has a different thing. A lot of times it's color number. You'll hear green 18, red 48, whatever.
Did you ever play football as a kid?
I played flag football. I was too much of a weenie to play tackle football. I'm one of those nerds that sits and reads about football instead of actually playing it.
Or you're in the band.
Or I'm in the band, yeah. Yeah, quarterback either hands the ball off for passes or runs.
Okay.
The quarterback is the one doing the passes. All right, we have our running backs. At this point in the NFL, there's really only one type of running back. You'll also hear halfback or tailback. It's all kind of the same thing. Their main job is to run. They get handed the ball, and they find a hole, and they run like hell.
Oh, I mean, logically, that makes sense. Okay.
Exactly. Some teams have retained a fullback, where the fullback's main job is to block, like, make holes for the running back, just to, like, find the holes, get through them first, and kind of clear extra lane for the running back. But a lot of teams are trying to get faster. A lot of times fullbacks are slower than halfbacks, so the team's only running backs are halfbacks. This is just how the way the league is going. Wide receivers, main job, catch the ball. Get open, run your route, run nice, clean, crisp routes, and get open.
So who does the snap? So the quarterback holds the ball, and then they snap it back.
No. So the center snaps the ball back.
Okay. To the quarterback.
To the quarterback.
Quarterback then throws it to the wide receiver?
Right.
And then the wide receiver throws it to the running back. And no. The running back runs. No. Okay.
So there are running plays and passing plays.
Got it.
Broadly. If it's a running play, a lot of times the quarterback would get the snap from the center and hand it to the running back or pitch it to the running back.
Okay.
And running back takes off. On a passing play, quarterback gets the ball from the center and then passes to one of the wide receivers or the running back.
Okay.
So let's talk about the offensive line. We have five positions on the offensive line. Let's start from the middle. Middle, you have the center. The center is for lack of a better term, the quarterback of the offensive line. They are the ones that is snapping the ball back. They're the ones where the quarterback has their hand on their butt or is standing right in front of their quarterback.
The quarterback is not on the offense. The quarterback is just a separate thing.
The quarterback is not on the offensive line.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. Got it. Makes sense. And the offensive line is like that group of people all
in a stance. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's the right word.
They're the people you saw in the body issue today.
Okay.
The hog mollies, the big guys.
The Philadelphia Eagle daddies, got it.
There you go. So let's work our way out. We have the center. They're in the middle. They are making adjustments before the snap. They are normally the highest. Before the draft, a lot of times teams have players take an intelligence test or like a problem-solving test. I don't know why. I think it's kind of pointless. But centers and the offensive linemen normally have the highest scores. They're very smart. They're normally the smartest people on the team.
That's interesting.
Because they have to be. But yeah, center snaps the ball. They help call out protections, pass protections, running protections, trying to find holes. Guards are on the outside of the center. And tackles are on the outside of the guards.
And so it goes center, guard, guard, tackle, tackle.
There you go.
Okay.
So going from like left to right, you have left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle.
Okay. And then the QB is behind the center.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the running back and the wide receiver?
So the wide receivers are going to be the widest out.
Logically.
And then depending on whether we are under center, in pistol formation or in shotgun formation dictates where the quarterback and running back are.
Okay.
Under center is when the quarterback has his hand on the center's butt waiting for the snap.
Okay.
You're, That's what he puts his hand on his butt. Is what he does.
I thought it was more like underneath the crotch.
No, you put his hand on his butt, and you wait for that ball. That's what happens.
Okay.
Now, the pistol formation is when the quarterback is a little bit farther back, and it's kind of like the center pitches it a little bit, so the ball's in the air when he snaps it, and then the running back is behind the quarterback. It's not totally common, but it's not totally uncommon either. And then shotgun formation is when the quarterback is even further back and the running back is beside the quarterback. Now, I did not mention tight ends. Sorry for all my tight ends out there. They are kind of, I want to say, for sake of simplicity, a hybrid between the offensive lineman and the wide receiver, where they are in charge of blocking, but also can go out and catch balls. So they are normally a little like bigger, thicker than a wide receiver, but they aren't, but a little bit more athletic than a tackle guard or center.
Okay.
We had the offense. The offense is set.
Cool.
Let's move to defense. Now, instead of starting at the back and working forward like we did, I'm going to start at the front and work back.
The offense and the defense are not on the field at the same time. Is that correct?
Your same team's offense is not on the field at the same time.
Okay. So if the Vikings were playing the Panthers, I would have my Vikings offense and then you would have your Carolina defense.
Exactly.
When do those switch?
You switch at a change of possession. So remember when I was talking about punting?
Yeah.
A punt is with special teams, which I forgot to write into the rundown, but I'll get to it. When the other team catches the punt and returns it however long they can, after that punt return, the other team's offense comes out and your defense comes out.
Okay.
That's how we change possessions. Also, possessions change after a score with a kickoff.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. This is more logical than I'm thinking. Like, I was like really stressing out about this. I thought it was going to be hard, but I'm kind of getting it. So
yeah, it's not that bad.
Don't quiz me at the end.
I won't. I promise.
We'll get there.
So let's start from the defense, the interior of the defensive line. You have your defensive tackles. These are the hog mollies on the other side. These are your big guys. They want to stop you from running the ball mostly. They want to clog up all the holes that the offensive line is trying to get on run defense. On pass defense, they are trying to collapse the pocket. So when the quarterback wants to make a pass, you'll see the offensive line kind of form a semicircle around them. It's called the pocket. So when you hear a quarterback is like a pocket passer, you want a quarterback to hang around in the pocket, that's what they're talking about. The defensive tackles are trying to collapse that pocket when they're trying to get to the quarterback.
Okay.
The defensive ends are faster than the defensive tackles, and they are trying to get on the outside of the offensive tackles to get around the pocket to get to the quarterback. So on a really good defensive line, you have the D tackles pushing in on the centers and guards, and you have the defensive ends coming around the side and trying to just collapse in on the quarterback. When the quarterback gets tackled, trying to make a pass, that's a sack.
Oh.
Defensive ends are also in charge of making sure when running backs are running, they don't get to the outside. They're trying to, what they call it, setting the edge.
So our defensive tackles, they have to be like faster or as fast as the running back, correct?
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
And actually, the fastest player on the field, most of the time, you'll see is a wide receiver.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. Because running backs, since they run a lot and they're getting hit a lot, normally weigh a bit more and have a little bit more muscle and a little bit more fat so they can take those hits.
Interesting.
Linebackers. They back up the line. They are extra run support or extra pass support. Wherever you need them, that's where the linebackers are.
Is there more than one linebacker on the field at any given time?
Yes. Most of the time you have at least two, depending on how your defensive coordinator, who is the main defensive coach, depending on how they want to run their defense. Sometimes your main defense has three, sometimes your main defense has four linebackers. It just depends.
How many people on the defense total?
11 on both sides.
Got it. Okay.
So linebackers, you'll see one of the most of the time an inside linebacker, someone towards the middle, have the green dot on defense. So that'll be the person on defense who is setting up the defensive plays, whether they're calling for more people to rush the quarterback or for more people in pass coverage. That's where you'll see the linebackers doing some work. All right. Now we have the cornerbacks. The cornerbacks, CBs, are going to be guarding the wide receivers. They are trying to shadow the wide receivers and keep them from catching balls, whether they are catching the balls themselves, which is an interception, or just swatting them down, or just making sure the wide receiver cannot get open to catch balls. And then you have safeties, which are your last line of defense. They are the furthest back on defense, and if a player on the offense gets past the safety, something went wrong. When you're looking at defense, it's a little bit more ethereal than offense.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Because, like, offensive linemen, they're always pretty much always five offensive linemen. There's one quarterback. There's a set number of wide receivers, whatever, based on whatever package you come out there with. On defense, you can have two linebackers and bring in an extra cornerback. You can take out a defensive lineman and put in an extra linebacker. You can have three safeties back there. It just depends on what you're doing for that one play, is what I mean by that.
I thought you were thinking like they were more spiritual or something. I was like,
They right. have their sage that they're burning back there. Yeah. It's a really, really hazy time on the football field. All right. I forgot to write down special teams, but there's only three positions. I'll say four. There's only four positions. There is the kick/punt returner. So on a kickoff or a punt, they are the people who are catching the ball and trying to return it as far as possible, going towards the other team's end zone, trying to score.
Okay.
You have the kicker, who is the place kicker, PK is another thing that you'll see. And they are there for field goals, extra points, and kickoffs most of the time. You have the punter, who's just there to punt the ball on fourth down. And then you have the long snappers. So the long snappers are like centers, but they are very specialized because punters are normally, instead of back 5 yards like the quarterback, they're back like 10, 15 yards. So they need to snap the ball accurately through their legs backwards, like a center, just very accurately.
When do the special teams come on the field?
On fourth down.
Oh, so like it's like what you would call a pinch hitter in baseball, right? Like you kind of need to get a home run, like you kind of need to get on base.
I say they are more common than a pinch hitter.
Okay.
Or a pinch runner. You'll see them plenty of times a game.
Interesting. I've never paid attention to this. Well, no, that makes sense because a kicker comes out when you need him to. I'm not quite sure about the other positions. I've never heard of them before, but all right. So we got the team.
We got the team. Now let's talk about some penalties and we'll set your
lineup.
We'll set your lineup. So
forgot about penalties.
I pulled because penalties are normally like the thing that people get the most confused about in football. So I just pulled the five most common ones. Actually, there was another one that was on here, but I didn't feel like explaining it, so I took it off. So these are the five most common ones that you'll see. Offensive holding. This is a blocking penalty. So you're watching me, Martha, the other people are not. But when you are blocking somebody, you can grab them anywhere. Like if you're looking at them straight on, if you can see that from shoulder to waist, you can grab them in the chest, grab them like on the shoulders in front of you with two hands in front of you. You can do that. As soon as you get outside of their shoulder pads and you're grabbing them from the back, sometimes from the side, you'll see it called. That's where you'll see holding, offensive holding.
So you can like even grab like the fabric of their shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
False start. This is an offensive penalty. When you are set up to run a play, if the offense makes any motion that is close to something that would start the play without the ball actually moving, without the snap, that is a false start. The offense cannot move before the ball moves. The defense can move all at once as long as it doesn't cross the line of scrimmage, but the offense cannot move until the ball moves. Cannot make a move that's like a football move before the snap. If they do, that's a false start. Holdings a 10-yard penalties, false starts a 5-yard penalty.
So sorry, so the penalty means that if you're the team that did it, you lose 5 yards?
Right.
Okay, so if I was 30 yards away from the end zone, I would now be 40 yards away.
For a 10-yard penalty, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Now, defensive pass interference.
Oh, that's what that stands for.
DPI, as the cool kids are calling it these days. If a quarterback's throwing a pass to a right receiver, most of the time it's right receiver. I know the like real football heads are like yelling at me for generalizing, but if once the ball is in the air, once the quarterback throws the ball, the cornerback cannot touch the right receiver anymore. So if the cornerback hits the wide receiver too early or like is hand fighting with them trying to keep their hands down, that's when you'll see defensive pass interference. They have to play the ball. They cannot interfere with the person running the route. They have to play the ball.
All right.
That penalty in the NFL is a spot foul, as it's called, meaning wherever it happens, that's where the ball will be the next play. So if it's like a 40-yard bomb down the field, there's defensive pass interference 30 yards down the field, that's a 30-yard penalty.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's real tough. In college, it's a 15-yard penalty. It's not nearly as bad, but in the NFL, it's a spot foul. Defensive holding is similar. A cornerback or a linebacker cannot grab a wide receiver while they're running a route. Like, they can't just, like, grab them and hold them. That's defensive holding. That's before the quarterback throws the ball.
Okay.
And then offsides is a – so on the defense, before the play, the defense cannot cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is snapped. So they can't get like an early jump. They have to wait till the ball moves for them to move.
What is a line of scrimmage?
Yeah, so line of scrimmage is what I was talking about earlier. Remember when I was talking about like the flying V? The line of scrimmage is where the ball is before the play. So – that's where the ball sits before the play. It's an imaginary line on the field. If you're watching a game, it's normally like a blue line on the field.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
That's the line of scrimmage.
Got it.
There is a 1 foot area called the neutral zone, which is the length of the football where no team can be. The offensive team has to be behind the football. The defensive team has to be in front of the football. That's the line of scrimmage.
Awesome.
All right. That's everything. I hope I answered most questions. It's hard to learn football without watching football, but yeah, it's a lot.
No, I think you did a great job. I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I can picture, I mean, I'm not clueless. I mean, maybe I am after you listen to the episode. You're like, Martha, you don't know what you're talking about, but I've seen a game of football. I've never been to, well, I've been to a college football game, but I've never been to an NFL game. I know what all these things are, and I know the cheers that I was supposed to do when the Gophers made a first down. So I think if I watch it on TV next, I mean, maybe we'll do that. Well, I don't think I want to watch one with you. I think that would be kind of scary. But
oh no, I'm chill.
Okay, really?
For the most, I used to not be as chill as I am now. Unless I'm playing like a team I don't like I am not chill when we play the Falcons or the Saints, like the Panthers. And I'm not chill when Carolina's playing Duke or State. But if it's just like the Panthers have the Rams week 1. I want to win week 1, but like if we don't, they're the NFC defending champs. I'm not going to be pressed if we lose that game.
I mean, if the Panthers ever play the Vikings, we can watch it together. So
yeah.
Cute. All right. So as I mentioned before, I'm doing a fantasy football league this year with 14 people.
I am not, because I actually do not love fantasy football, but that's just, it's a purely me thing.
I remember when I was in high school, I think I did it and I didn't know what I was doing. I would just kind of like move players around. This one girl did not like me because I took the quarterback she wanted and I specifically drafted him because I didn't like her. And that was Drew Brees, who is still playing today.
Yeah.
All right.
Hate Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, neutral opinion.
He plays for the Saints. He's the Saints quarterback.
Oh, right. That would make sense then. Okay, my team name is the Gridiron Throne, and I am playing the Onion Knights.
Good name.
So for our team, I don't remember exactly what we set up, but it looks like one quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, and two tight ends playing at all times. Is that right?
Two tight ends.
Is that wrong?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what your league setup is.
Okay, so this is our team, the Gridiron Throne. Look at that D+ draft grade. I had to auto draft because I was at a barbecue.
All right, so you got Aaron Rodgers starting at quarterback, not bad. Juju Smith-Schuster from Pittsburgh, he's going to be their star wide receiver, so that's good. Curtis Samuel at wideout. I am very high on Curtis Samuel personally.
Okay.
He was the training camp star for the Panthers this year. People are very excited about him. All right. You have Royce Freeman at running back, Chris Carson at running back. Chris Carson's hope for him to do really well, because I do not know who Royce Freeman is, but Chris Carson is going to be the feature back for the Seahawks.
Well, let's talk through this here. So we agree on Aaron Rodgers.
We agree on Aaron Rodgers. I don't think I disagree with anything, but I'll keep going. Curtis Samuel, like I said, I think he's going to do really well. Don't know who Royce Freeman is, but you don't really have a different choice. I think you will need to invest in a different running back at some point. I will keep an eye out for any star rookies that break out this week.
Okay, well, do we want to see if there's anyone on the list that we can take?
I doubt I'm going to see anybody right now, because you don't want Kareem Hunt because he is suspended right now. Melvin Gordon's hurt. Lamar Miller's on IR. Wendell Smallwood, I have no clue who that is. Theo Riddick, IR. Yeah, I suggest waiting until... Oh, Rex Burkhead, still in the league. Good for him. I suggest waiting a week and see who has a great week and then try to jump on that bandwagon.
Looks like the next one would be Wendell Smallwood, but 0% people own him, so...
Yeah, that's how this is going to go. I say rock with what you have this week and figure it out later.
All right, so let's just read the lineup quick. So, Martha's starting lineup for first week of fantasy football: Aaron Rodgers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Curtis Samuel, woo, Royce Freeman, TBD, Chris Carson, a running back from Seattle, Austin Hooper, a tight end,
yep,
from Atlanta, and Kyle Rudolph, my boy from Minnesota, Will Lutz as the kicker from New Orleans,
mm-hmm,
and Minnesota as our defense.
Let's look at this. You have Minnesota going against Atlanta, and then Cleveland going against Tennessee. Switch that.
Switch that?
Start Cleveland.
All right.
This is going to be... I'm glad it's coming out 2 weeks from now so people can forget how this went. Yeah, but I say start Cleveland against Tennessee because Matt Ryan is, as much as I hate to say it, a decent quarterback, and then he's going to have Julio Jones to throw to. Marcus Mariota is playing for his job this year at quarterback for Tennessee, and I'm not sure. Matt Ryan is a known quantity. Marcus Mariota is not, so that's why I say switch him.
I am projected at 116.77 points versus an even 98.10 points for my week one matchup. Stay tuned and we'll find out who does better and if I understand football anymore and if I pick up any running backs.
Yeah, like I hope we learned something here. I hope I wasn't boring and tedious.
No, I mean, I think I understood it all. I mean, the thing about this podcast is we can do whatever we want. So it's really fun. And this is something you're passionate about. So it's important to you. And by default, it's important to me now because we are bonded in podcast co-hosting.
I could go on about football for another 2 hours, but we have stuff to do, so we can't do that.
So thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. Stay tuned next week as I teach Colby all about my secret passion, the royal family. It's gonna be good. I have a lot of notes prepared. It won't be as long as this episode because there's not, you could go deep into the history of all the kings and the current monarchy and how it's affecting Brexit and certain tax policies, but we won't because I already just bored myself. So see you next week and bye for now.
Gather around, old pals, and let's share another round as buddies and pals.
Find us online at www.shityouneedtoknow.com or needtoknow.show and on Twitter and Instagram at SYNTKpod.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
And thanks to Sir and Purs for the artwork.
Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
I hope that was good.